Chapter 2. Acknowledge the waiter. The non-starter, ignore those the world considers unimportant. The opener, look them in the eye, pay attention, greet them. Jesus acknowledged people, particularly those whom others didn't care about. Children, the poor, women, Samaritans, lepers, and dead people. So pretty much everyone. Of all the things I love about Jesus, this is one of my favorites. He wasn't too cool for anyone. Sometimes I think I am, but Jesus, even though he was divinity with flesh, didn't act too big for his sandals. Jesus paid attention. To the blind beggar, when the disciples told him to move on, he stopped instead. To the poor, to the hungry, to the children, the disciples would typically try to keep Jesus focused, keep on mission, but he seemed happy to be interrupted. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell my favorite of these interruption stories in just a handful of verses. Jesus was approached by a very important man. Matthew calls him a ruler, but Mark tells us more, that his name was Jairus, and he was the ruler of a synagogue. Jairus had a daughter, who was dying, and he had asked Jesus to come to his house and heal her. Now think about that for a second. The man who came to Jesus was a very important religious leader. Some have speculated that he was the patron or the financial backer of the Galilean synagogue, sort of like the CEO. And if Jesus needed anything at this time in his ministry, it was some love from the local Jewish leaders. Jesus had done a few things to make the religious leaders pretty upset. Hanging out with sinners, breaking religious food laws, challenging their hypocrisy, and now standing before him, there was a Jewish leader who actually had faith in him. Jairus believed that Jesus could and would heal his daughter. Pretty remarkable given the tension between Jesus and the religious establishment. This was Jesus' chance. If he did a miracle for Jairus, he could get the religious leaders on his good side again. Jesus agreed to go with Jairus, but on the way, he was interrupted by an extremely inappropriate lady. She pushed her way through the crowd and touched him while she was bleeding and religiously unclean. All wrong. Sometimes after I've spoken at an event, and sometimes I've said something good or helpful, a small crowd will form around me. Now, not like Jesus' crowds, more like a crowd of four. And more often than not, someone will walk right past those four as if they didn't exist and start talking to me. That really, really annoys me. Or maybe I'm signing books after a talk and someone cuts right to the front of the line for no reason, as if they're blind. I don't like rude people. And it's even worse if they're inappropriate in some cultural sense. Sometimes I tell them that they're rude or I just ignore them. But not Jesus. He stopped for the interruptions. He asked who touched him. And then he took the time in front of everyone to talk to the socially unacceptable lady. And what I love most about this story is he instantly healed her. Actually, she was healed before Jesus even spoke to her, right as she had reached out and touched the hem of his robe. The power to heal went out from him right away, but he still took the time to have a conversation. Jesus allowed himself to be interrupted as he was traveling to see Jairus' dying daughter. And you know what happened. Luke tells us that while he was still speaking with her, the report came that Jairus' daughter had died. So there was no need for Jairus and Jesus to come. Imagine, let me put this into context. Let's say that the mayor of Denver had personally come to me and asked me to go pray for his daughter. The press was there. This would be the biggest moment of my life. So of course, in deep spiritual humility, I'd said yes. And on the way, a beggar on the streets of downtown grabbed my pant leg and he asked for money. Would I have stopped? Would I have talked to him? Would I have given him what he asked for? I don't think I'll answer. But Jesus did. He allowed an unknown woman of questionable credentials to interrupt him in the middle of his most important appearance to date. The juxtaposition couldn't be more obvious. Prominent male religious synagogue ruler on one side and an unknown religiously unclean woman on the other. When we know Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised that he stopped for her, but it sure was a surprise to everyone at that time. I can only imagine the disciples' indignation upon hearing the news that the important man's little girl had died. If only Jesus hadn't stopped. If only, they must have said. But when Jesus heard the news, he turned to Jairus and he said, "Don't be afraid." Jesus gives the number one command in all of the Bible, don't fear. Because I'm sure Jairus was, as we all so often are, afraid. We know the end of the story. Both the bleeding woman and the important man's daughter were healed. The normal order of things was upended. Jesus chose to give as much attention to the social outcast as he did to the religious man. He stopped to talk to the lesser-known person rather than give precedence to the well-known. Jesus almost always did that, and I think we all should too. Living in Beirut, Lebanon for 12 years provided me and my wife, Chris, with ample opportunity to acknowledge the less fortunate. We passed beggars every day on the street. They were sometimes friendly and other times obnoxious, but we made a decision. We would look at each one and smile. Yep, that's it. I feel foolish even writing that sentence. Because we didn't give them all money. We didn't pray for them all to be healed, although we did do this sometimes. But still, I try to always look at a beggar in the eye. Yes, doing that invites more begging. I constantly hear that looking at or engaging with them in any way only encourages them to keep begging. Probably true. Oh well, it's good for me to do it. I think it at least reminds me that they are as human as I am, and maybe it reminds them the same. It's pretty easy for us to both dehumanize the other. Do you think that beggars see us as human, or do you think that they see us as a source to get something from? They may be ignoring our humanity, just as we might be trying to ignore theirs. Simple eye contact, a smile, and a hello might do more than we think. There was a man named Zachariah in a wheelchair on our street down from West Beirut. He was there for years. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and he had burn marks all over his body. We'd become friends with him, actual friends. He would be begging, look very sad and sorry, holding out his hand, and then he'd see us and he'd stop begging and break out into a huge smile. He'd call our names as we stopped to chat. He was awesome. Sometimes we tried to give him money and he'd refuse. He told us he didn't want money from his friends. One day our daughter, Marie, without even us knowing, emptied her piggy bank and brought out a bag of money. I guess it was about $20 worth of Lebanon coins. She wanted to give it to Zachariah. She did. And then he cried. We cried. He couldn't say no to this precious gift even though he didn't want to take it. That's hope. A small dose of the gospel. A widow's mite. An alabaster jar perfume. A sweet-smelling sacrifice of both time and money. And perhaps more important, also dignity. What's worth more? Our acknowledging friendships and humanity to the point where even our own daughter would give her own money. Or his begging and someone giving him $1,000. This week, let's try to acknowledge those that we don't normally pay attention to. Let's make eye contact with beggars, even if we don't always give them the money. Let's acknowledge those who are serving us and who we are serving. The waitstaff at a restaurant. Even when you're having a world-changing conversation with your friend, stop when the busboy comes up to refill your water and just ask him,